Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, make some noise, 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 noise.
It's 10 o'clock and time for us to make some history. Kind of. It's the pairing of two men, each with their own individual take on the Atlanta sports scene.
I'll take that.
For the next 4 hours, enjoy what we hope will be a great pairing of sports talk juggernauts. Well, that's what we're hoping for, at least.
Wow, you're handsome.
Durr.
Now, it's Andy and Randy. Andy Bunker.
I'm a first place individual.
And Randy McMichael.
You are that. You are that.
Just make sure you don't touch that dial, then we'll be cool. Touch it and use the fool.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Yeah.
Good morning and welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Friday. Thank you for being with us.
Hey, what's happening, man?
I'm Andy Bunker and that's Randy McMichael.
Yes, good mood Friday, Randy McMichael.
Fresh haircut, Randy McMichael.
Man. Yeah, I'm looking, you know.
Nice polo shirt, not like with the collar, but the brand polo shirt, Randy McMichael.
It's Santa Claus Day today, so I got to go to see Santa Claus and all that.
So what does that mean? Take the kids to see Santa?
Yeah.
And get pictures?
Take the baby.
Yeah, take the baby.
Yeah.
Me and my, this is ridiculous but true, and I'll reveal it 2 minutes into the show.
Yeah.
Me and my brothers used to go see Santa all the way until the youngest one was 18. Oh. Until Cole was 18 years old. And as you know, I'm 13 years older than he is. So I saw Santa when I was 31 years old.
What is that wrong with that?
Now tell me, it was a tradition.
You weren't on his lap, though, were you?
Well, I'm smaller than those other guys.
Yeah,
so no, I didn't sit on his lap.
Okay.
But I did have to sit in the front, though, like on the the seat of the of the chair.
Uh-huh.
But no, I didn't sit on his lap.
Okay. Well, I mean,
I drew the line there.
That's good, man. That's good. But yeah, that's today. So I had to put on some good some of my good clothes.
Yeah, you're looking sharp.
Can put on good clothes. Put on some jeans. Can't wear sweats. Everything.
Yeah, going to the mall.
Yeah.
Is that where you guys go to the mall to see Santa?
We go to
you don't have to tell
No,
everyone.
We go to Bass Pro Shop.
Oh.
Going up in Gwinnett.
Oh, that's smart.
Yeah, that thing is so decked out, too. It's so nice.
That sounds like fun. It is the holiday season, obviously. Christmas less than a week away. Hopefully, you've gotten most of what you need to get done. I got basically the last of my shopping done yesterday, which was good. My day not off to quite the same start your day's off to.
You've been having a rough morning.
It's a weird morning. Well, what's funny, because I haven't. Ashley has a day off today, so she's been sending me text updates about what's going on at the house. The less important thing, luckily, dog got out of the yard because the people doing construction next door knocked a giant hole in the chain link fence. These are the same people that knocked the tree down that fell into our yard last month. So Boone got out, but they got him. He's all good. The real problem is there seems to be a bear living in our walls.
Yeah, man. I mean,
sort of rodent has gotten into our house.
Ashley, she took the video and you showed it to me this morning. I'm like, dude, there is something in your wall.
Yeah.
Now,
it sounded large.
It could be the echo or something maybe, because I don't know. But that thing sounded like it was like a Wolverine or something there.
Yeah. Do they got Wolverines here? We got Wolverines here?
I don't know.
Some sort of badger? I don't know.
I don't know. But you need to handle that.
Yeah.
Hey, Marco,
it sounded like a real problem. Yeah. So hopefully we're going to get that taken care of. Sooner rather than later. Because if you just like go to sleep at night, and then all of a sudden that thing somehow gets in the house.
You know, that was my next thing, because you ain't going to be able to sleep. You know that, right?
I know.
Yeah, because it's going to be making noise all night long.
Yeah.
You remember that movie? You're too young for that movie.
What movie?
Critters.
Oh, yeah, I saw Critters.
Have you seen Critters?
Yeah.
Yeah, you might have something like that in your wall, man.
We definitely have some critters in our house.
Yeah.
I don't know what they are, but hopefully we get that taken care of at some point today. We got the exterminator people coming out. Okay, we'll get to what's trending coming up in 15 minutes. A lot to get into headed into this weekend. The Hawks, unfortunately, came up short last night. That's 6 losses in a row. And for the second consecutive season, Randy, they start the season 6-23.
Crazy.
Not good.
How about that? That's
not good.
Crazy.
Not what anyone thought was going to be the case this year. Last year made a lot more sense. This year, not as much. Although we didn't know that John Collins was going to be out for 25 games either. Also, some Josh Donaldson rumors circulating. We'll get to in about half an hour from right now. But we wanted to start with the Atlanta Falcons. And not just this weekend, but the final two games of the season. Because clearly, we all know where things are. Right? Like, there's a decision to be made at the end of the year. There will be no playoffs. for the second year in a row. So that's a disappointment and an underachievement as far as I'm concerned. So the decision will have to be made at the end of the year. I was pretty strongly of the opinion that the decision probably was already made a couple of weeks ago.
Yep.
And I know that we were kind of talking about it before the show. You kind of felt the same way. And the more they win, the less confident I get. So what I'm asking for from these final two games, and I don't know if this means wins, if it means losses, if it means blowout wins, whatever. I just want to happen in these final two games of the season, whatever will allow Arthur Blank and whoever is helping him make this decision, make the most level-headed, clear, correct decision for the franchise.
What's the correct decision?
I don't know. I don't know what the correct decision is.
That's the frustrating thing about my thought process behind this whole thing, because a couple of weeks ago, I'm like, it's done. It's done. It's done. And I still feel like it should be done, but I don't know anymore.
And by that, you mean new coaching regime.
Yeah, just new
and
everything.
General manager.
Just clear it clear out, house. Man. It's clear house. But I don't know how it is because, you know, if we talk about the players' influence and how they talk about it, playing and you know, wanting to keep his job and all that. And I try to put myself in a position where if I'm in that locker room, I want the same thing because I told you, I want to play for Dan Quinn. You know what I'm saying? Because he just seems like he's that type of coach that you want to play for. But with that being said, this is a results-oriented business. Now, it's been 2 years out of the playoffs, but I just guess because the expectations have not been met that we put. I'm talking about our show. Of course, we don't, you know, everybody else has expectations, but I'm just talking about Andy and Randy, this show, and our expectations, and it just fell so far. And I just have a hard time. This is me. I have a hard time of forgetting the first eight games. I mean, I just can't forget about them. I mean, I just can't forget about the fact that you lost to a couple quarterbacks who ain't even starting no more. And it's just, I mean, what about this second half of this season levels or leads you to believe that he needs to keep his job that the first eight didn't?
For me, nothing. There's such a thing as like a big enough hole that you can't dig your way out of it.
Especially now, if they had went to the playoffs or something last year and this happened, we might get a pass.
Right.
But and then, you know, last year, okay, injuries, I get all that. But if you go back and look at last year, you still should have won maybe four of those games that you lost. That didn't have nothing to do with injuries. That just had just didn't execute well. So I mean, I think one of them's got to go though. I'm not changing my stance. I think everything needs to be blown up, but one of them got to go. Said it all week. Somebody has got to take responsibility for this. And with the Thomas promise and those dudes not panning out, I know it's not Thomas's fault that Chris Lessman got hurt, but, dude, somebody got to pay for this thing. And if you're going to tell me that you're rewarding Dan Quinn because he made a coaching decision and it took back off, now you're whatever, 6-2 at the end of the year, then let that, you know what I'm saying, let that be the basis for keeping him.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because, oh, well, look what he did. He made this adjustment. Because I'll tell you right now, if that's what he bases his and I know it's not going to be the sole thing that Mr. Blank bases his decision off of is because Dan made this decision and you got Albrecht and you got Raheem Morris coaching the defense. They're playing better. But what if he does put that in that little pot and then next thing you start off 2-4?
Right.
Or you start off, no, after the first four games, you're 1-3.
Right.
Then what?
Right.
You fire Dan?
I don't know.
You have to.
I guess you'd have to.
Yeah.
And if you put yourself in that situation, then everyone's going to look back at the offseason and say, well, what's he even here for in the first place? Right? And that's something that I've been thinking about in terms of the perception of the franchise and the connection between the fan base and the franchise.
Right.
Because, look, we know what it's going to look like on Sunday in that building.
It's going to be raggedy.
It's not going to be good.
No.
And it hasn't been for a while because the Falcons haven't been winning games. I don't blame people for that. I'm not going to sit here and chastise people for making intelligent monetary decisions and time decisions.
That's not the fans' fault. No, it's not.
It is the product that is being put on the field.
Yes.
And the product that's being put on the field is a result of coaching, general managing, and the players either playing well or not playing well when they're out there. There's a lot of factors that go into that. But I think that even still, even with this two-season downturn that they're on right now, and the fact they haven't made the playoffs in the last two seasons and they were expected to, and here's the thing. You and I can have whatever expectations we want.
Right.
We've said at the beginning of the year, Super Bowl or bust, because that's the deal. That's where you are right now with the primes of some of these guys.
Right.
But I also know Arthur Blank feels that way. Arthur Blank and Matt Ryan were talking about championships all summer long,
well, I mean,
and that being the goal, and rightfully so.
Look at the... Mr. Blake opened his wallet up this offseason, man. He brought out the big checks. He wrote three big checks this offseason, man. So, yeah, we're thinking about that. And my thing is, I always put this expectation on the teams that I root for or whatever, have rooting interest in, whatever. Why shouldn't I think like that? You know, that's the thing about it, and I make fun of you, but about the Fanning scared and all that. Why should I be scared? Why shouldn't the expectations for the Falcons be one of the best teams in the NFL? Because right. They got some of the best players
right.
at key positions in the NFL. Now, it goes back to you can have a great quarterback, but if ain't nobody to block for him, then, you know, you up the creek. But I don't really think that it was just the O-line that let this team down this year. I think it was a collective thing. It was a whole thing of everybody had that, what I call that my bad moment at the wrong time. And it started from the first play of your season. The first three plays of your season pretty much define how the season has went.
Yeah. Matt Ryan sacked on the first play. It was a block punt.
Yeah.
Those first
three plays have pretty much defined
what
your season has been this year. A train wreck.
It's certainly the first half of the season.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. I to save a job in the NFL should not be equated to what you do in a half of a losing season.
I agree. I think there's a lot of things that whether Arthur Blank is taking them into consideration or not, I don't know. But there's a lot of things that are being talked about as potential factors right now that I don't think should have anything to do with the end of the year decision. I'm not just talking about the record in the second half. I'm talking about the players really liking him.
Because we've always known that.
I like him too.
But we've always known that.
Right, we have always known that. And he's a nice guy. Great.
We know that.
I don't care about that.
The players are going to play hard. The players are playing hard for him. We knew that.
Right.
Who actually, and it irritated me when people were talking about, Dan Quinn lost the locker room. No, he hadn't. He never had.
No, he hadn't.
All right, these guys will run through a brick wall for that man. So, but, okay, I get all that. That's all good and dandy. And I'm sure Arthur Blank will base some of that in his conversations with himself or whoever he's talking to when he's about to make this decision.
I hope not.
Huh?
I hope that doesn't factor too much into it.
But I didn't say it's going to factor in, but how much does it factor?
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's the biggest thing is how much of that is he going to
base
his decision on if he moves on or if he stays?
Well, because here's the other thing. It's not just them that like him. Arthur Blank very clearly likes him.
He loves him.
And that's great. That's great. But, like, that can't be how the decision is made. It's business, right?
Yeah.
You're trying to win football games and championships.
Yeah.
I mean, if we just want to like each other, then I guess just keep him forever. But you got to base it on what you're doing on the field. And starting 1-7 to me was it. But it clearly isn't because he's still here. And obviously you're not going to get rid of him now with two games remaining. I just, whatever it's going to take for Arthur, and keeping Dan Quinn maybe is the right decision. Maybe it
might be.
Maybe they come back next year and they win a Super Bowl if they keep him.
Are you willing to roll those dice? That's the thing about it. Are you willing to roll those dice? And again, somebody's got to take the, because last year, remember, it was all three coordinators. They took the blame for
it. They did take
it. Who's going to take it this year?
Right. It's hard.
Who's going to take it this year?
It's hard to get rid of those three guys, have the same season, and not have the head guy take a hit.
Somebody does.
We'll come back and let you hear some Falcons audio from the week. Also react to what the Hawks did last night. Interesting Atlanta United rumors circulating as well. Some potential players being on the move. You hinted at this yesterday, Randy, how different this roster might look next year.
Mm-hmm.
You might be onto something. We'll get into that coming up next in What's Trending here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
What's trending?
A look at the top trending headlines of the day.
Oh my God.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Well, you know, he has the respect of the locker room, and the guys play hard for Dan. There's no question about it. We all appreciate everything that he does for us, the style of coaching. He's got great relationships with all of the guys in our locker room, and so we love him. And, you know, we're playing hard and doing everything we can for him.
That's the voice of Matt Ryan earlier in the week on NFL Now on NFL Network. And I think one thing that's important to mention as we get to what's trending here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, is that everyone who's been saying these things, whether it's Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, Grady Jarrett, like all the guys in the locker room,
right,
they're asked.
Yeah.
It's not like they're stepping up there and saying, before we get started, I would like to voice my approval of the head. Like, it's important. That's an important distinction.
Right.
Like, I know all the players are saying nice things about Dan Quinn, rightfully so. They believe him.
Right.
But they're being asked about it. And, and again, they're saying the right things about him, and they're saying that they like him because they do. To me, that can't be too much of a factor in the decision that you make at the end of the season. I know it'll be a little bit of one, but how big of a factor it is, I don't know. If it's a really big factor, then Dan Quinn's going to be here.
Oh, that's And that's my whole thing. If it is that kind of factor, then yeah, he'll be here. If Arthur Blank takes into account that these guys are going to play hard for it, because I promise you this, whoever they bring in next, the next head coach, you know what the players are going to do? They're going to play hard for them.
Sure.
Because it's their damn job.
Sure. Yeah, because okay. That's what you do. You get paid to do. Job.
And Mike posed a great question, and Mike Conte posed a great question out in the bullpen. He's like, well, what if they bring in Tom Coughlin? Let me tell you something about winning. Winning, you can deal with that sometimes. And the thing with the whole Tom Coughlin thing is, this ain't just happened. He's been doing this right. Since he's been there. That's just his M.O. But it was all good when they were in the AFC Championship game.
Of course it was.
You know what I'm saying? It was all good. He was finding them. It was all good. Now, they probably didn't like it, but you didn't get out. Now, losing elevates everything.
And winning fixes everything.
And winning fixes everything. Yeah. And I'm looking at this thing that Wendy put on this rundown, and we're just talking about at home in this new beautiful building that Mr. Blank has assembled over there. There are 11-12 over the last three seasons mm-hmm. in that building.
Mm-hmm.
Why would I want to come to that? You know what I'm saying? That's the crazy thing about it is you got your loyal fans that are always going to be there, but the majority of a lot of stadiums that don't have like the rabid football fan base like the Chiefs and the Packers and guys like that is random fans that want to just come to a game. But nobody don't want to come see a product like that. I mean, that's not what Mr. Blank was talking about. And just like my man Jahi was saying, who's in for Brian, the PSLs, man. Once them seats keep. You know, you're looking on TV and all you see is red, and I ain't talking about people wearing red shirts. You just see red seats. Eventually, when does that take – is that going to be a part of the – as far as the mindset? Because I need to know, as a Falcon fan, what is your expectations for next year if they do bring back Dan? Like, are you going to – like, how do you sell Dan Quinn and Thomas Dimitrov to a fan base who's already lost faith in them?
Absolutely.
I mean, how do you do that?
The only way that it works is exactly what you were just talking about. If they win, I mean, you're not going to be able to sell it to them beforehand.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, that's going to be impossible.
Okay, this is my thing. All right, because, so, you know, every year, 1990 game, all our shows were up there at training camp. We're up there at Flower Branch, first day open at training camp, all that. What's the crowd going to be like if you bring him back? Or is it just, we love our Falcons, we're going to be here no matter who is the head coach or the general manager, or is it going to be like...
I think it'll still be good because people are excited for football and people love the Falcons and all of that. But the narrative around the team or the conversation around the team, because last year it was this. So they made all these changes. Mm-hmm. Dan Quinn bet on himself. It's all or nothing on Dan Quinn.
I kept telling you, I said he bet on himself and he bet on them two dudes on the outside.
Right.
That's what he bet on.
Yeah.
He bet on them two dudes on the outside.
And none of the bets have worked.
Nothing.
So again, like, that, what are we talking about?
That's why tell me what is going to be your mindset? I understand the cap and all that. I ain't worried about the cap and how they're structured. They'll find ways to have some money. Now, are they going to be able to go get the big time free agent? No. Have I been saying that they're going to have to draft well and these guys are going to have to contribute immediately because of all the money that you got tied up? Yeah, you're going to have to. But with that being said, and everybody's like, well, Matt Ryan and another off. Matt Ryan been in this damn league over 10 years. Matt Ryan will be fine. All right? But you got to get the right guys in here to evaluate. Talent, that's why I keep saying it. I'm going to keep saying it, Andy. Somebody, who's going to be culpable? Who's going to be held accountable for this? Because last year, it was Marco Emmanuel, which we still don't know why he's gone. If you want to blame it on the injuries, well, hell, he had his whole defense was injured. I mean, then you blame it on Sark. You blame it on Keith Armstrong. Hell, your special teams coach had 10 people in the on the onside kick to start the second half. And when you're in the locker room before you come out to halftime and you're about to do something like that, you know what Dan says? Hey, guys, we're going to go with the surprise onside to start the second half. And you know what the special team coach does? Calls up all the guys and lets them know. So who was the fool that wasn't on the field?
I don't know.
And if they don't win this game, they don't win that game last week because we haven't talked about it. Because they won.
That's unbelievably bad.
I promise you. I heard Hugh say this morning, before you go out on the field for the second half and you got this play in, first thing Dan's going to say, hey, guys, we're going to go with the surprise onside kick right here. All right, everybody's like, yeah. Especially when coach calls you up, counts them off. We get. Dude, it wasn't even 5 minutes.
Who would you guess? Where's the communication breakdown on that one? Like, is it a player just forgetting?
It has to be a player.
Is that what it is?
I don't even know. It has to be a player because okay. I know that Dan said that right before they went back on the field. Because
right.
There's a guy who comes into the locker room like a referee, says 2 minutes. I give you 2 minutes to get back on the field. Go back on the field. You already know this, that you got the surprise onside. Was he in the bathroom?
I don't know. Like, but here's the thing, though,
like,
Randy,
how do you mess that up?
And I want to get back to that in about half an hour in the NFL no huddle because, like, you can blame the individual player. Sure. The player is the one that's supposed to be out there. You can blame the special teams coach. That's also just, like, the type of thing that we've seen
Young Way
for
Koo. You
years.
Know what? Young Way Koo, the kicker usually counts the dudes, too.
Yeah.
Or the assistant special teams, you know, usually you'll have, like, a huddle on the sideline. Like.
But it's sloppiness And it looks like lack of preparedness, and I don't know if that's true or not, but it did. That is sloppy, and we've seen that. Yeah. It's not the first. Is it shock you that they came out of halftime and had 10 guys on the field?
It kind of does.
Not me.
It kind of does because I know not the shocking. Operation, Andy. That's the thing about it.
Yeah.
I know the operation. So that's why I'm saying, like, I don't know. I mean.
You ever on the hands team?
Yeah, always.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Was it fun or was that awful? It seemed like an onside kick when it's bouncing up in the air, going up to get it would be terrifying.
It just depends on where you are. I've been in both spots. I've been the guy that's blocking for the guy who's catching. I've been the catcher. Yeah, it ain't fun.
Yeah, it doesn't seem fun.
But I mean,
somebody's coming to take
but that
was back when onside kicks could actually happen, too.
That is when you talk about, you know, the trust. That's when you trust your teammates. Like, I trust the fact that their guy's going to block for them. Remember Green Bay Packers when the dude was supposed to do his job, he backed up and all that. Seattle goes, yeah, that right there.
I was at that game.
Yeah, I know.
That was a crazy onside kick. I can't believe it worked. All right, the Hawks played last night, too.
Really did a good job. Donovan and Mitchell ends up with 30 points, but I thought Cam, you know, made him work from start to finish. Gobert was just he was a handful for us. The big offensive rebound and dunk at the end kind of summed it all up.
Yeah, Rudy Gobert is a bit of a beast down there. Alex Len and whoever else was Bruno Fernando, they didn't have much of a chance against Rudy Gobert, just cleaning that glass up, blocking shots. DeAndre Hunter tried to dunk on him late in the game. Gobert wasn't having any of that. It's nice to have a rim protector. Now, he's the back-to-back defensive player of the year in the NBA, so you know he's going to be able to do that.
Right, right.
The bottom line is the Hawks lose again 111-106 at home last night. They're 6-23 for the second consecutive season, which is not what anyone expected this year. And it was a couple of interesting things from last night. Fourth youngest starting lineup in NBA history.
Yep.
The Hawks rolled out there with all their rookies and second-year guys.
Right.
And then the way that Cam Reddish was being asked to defend Donovan Mitchell one-on-one in the fourth quarter. At first, I was like, dang, that's kind of messed up. But then I was like, you know what?
You
that's what
learn.
He needs.
You got to learn.
That's exactly what
he
needs.
Cam didn't play bad last night.
He did okay.
He did okay last night.
He had a good game.
Trey shot the ball terrible last night. I learned something, you know, when they did announce the starting lineup. I think Jabari Parker, he played well off the bench. That's the role they wanted him. So I think they're trying to get him back used to playing that role when
exactly.
John Collar comes back. Thought he was excellent off the bench yesterday. But, yeah, I mean, when the other team's stars are dealing the way that Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert, it's going to be hard to beat them if you're a team like the Hawks.
I agree with that. And, yeah, the Utah Jazz are a pretty good team. They've not been as good this season as you would think. But, look, they're 17-11. They're pretty solid. Do you think that we got a little bit of a preview, like you said, about what the starting lineup might look like when Collins gets back? Because if so, then that means John Collins playing the five.
Yeah.
Because he would go in for Bruno
no.
instead of having Bruno start. And you got DeAndre Hunter, Cam Reddish, Trey Young, and Kevin Herter with John Collins?
Yeah, I don't think it's what it's going to be.
You don't think that you'll put Damian Jones
you'll
back
have,
in there?
You'll have some kind of – you'll have that. But you don't want to start John Collins off at the five, no. But eventually you're going to see this lineup a couple times, yeah, mm-hmm. throughout the game with John Collins in there. But, yeah, at the five, I mean, but, yeah, you don't want to start John Collins at the five, no.
I don't think I do either.
No.
I did like that nice young lineup that they used last night,
it was
though.
Just a, it
fun
was
to
a,
see the guys
glimpse.
Go out. Yeah,
it was a glimpse.
It was.
It was a glimpse. But what the hell was Kevin Herter doing?
He's hurt.
Dude.
I don't know.
That caused him to miss that dunk.
I don't know. That's what it would look like if I tried to dunk.
You know what I'm saying? Like, as a pro, you still like, because you remember when you first started dunk, you do that little shuffle, then try to go up? Like,
yeah.
Like, dude, you're a professional. You just
when it was his shoulder that's hurt, right, not his legs?
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty funny.
That was yeah. It slipped out of his hand, man.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
Not everybody can palm the basketball.
That was funny. 19 out of the game. It's our fourth annual Game Bowl Paper Football Championship, and it's coming back on Saturday, January 25th. It's going to be a Stars and Strikes over in Sandy Springs. There will be 128 players competing for cash prizes, including the Game Bowl champion winning of $1,000. The entry is free, and it starts today. So make sure y'all go onto our website and click on the events page at 929thegame.com. And register. We all going to be there. We're going to have a good time. Now, no, we're not the referees. We don't know. We can't change calls or nothing like that.
No, we can't take bribes as much as we would like to.
As much as we like that.
To try to help out your cause.
You slip me a Tito's meat, and, you know, I might, you know, have a couple conversations with Dutch.
Lean on the table or something?
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll come back. We got some off-season rumors. Braves rumors. Atlanta United rumors. The hot stove continues to heat up. We'll talk about that coming up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I'm with Brian Snitker on that one. I'd like to have Josh Donaldson back, too.
I think you're like maybe 100% of Braves fans.
Yeah.
We want him back.
I think we're kind of all on the same page. Probably not a unique opinion there.
Nah.
Especially when there isn't a reasonable – he said we'll piece it together. That's not what we want to do.
We don't want a revolving door at third base.
No. A platoon in the cleanup spot either. No. Like that. You said that to me last week, and I hadn't thought of it like that. Like, damn, that would be bad. That would be so rough.
That'd be real bad.
Yeah, like you can have a platoon at catcher. All right, you did that last year. A lot of teams do that. The revolving door in the bullpen last year was a disaster at times.
It was.
But they still managed to deal with it because there's so much talent on the roster. And they went out and actually made trades at the deadline and bolstered the bullpen. And this offseason, they've made a lot of signings in the bullpen. There was a lot of rotating guys in the rotation last year. That's what we call it, a rotating rotation.
It was.
Because just think about it. Of all the guys that were in the starting rotation at the beginning of the season last year, how many of them were sent down or released or whatever? It's pretty crazy that they were able to put together the year that they put together last year, given that as well. A big part of that was when they decided to move Ronald Acuña to leadoff and put Josh Donaldson in the cleanup spot, and that basically revolutionized the offense with Donaldson and his bat there. Now, look, we all want Donaldson back.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
The longer it takes, to me, the less likely it seems. And then you get this report from Ken Rosenthal yesterday in The Athletic that Josh Donaldson has, quote, multiple four-year offers with both the Twins and the Nationals believed to be on that level. Again, I know it was John Heyman earlier in the week. Ken Rosenthal threw out the $100 million number as well. So if just say it's 4 years, $100 million right now, and all things are equal, are the Braves in a position to start outbidding people? Like, do you trust the Braves to outbid one of these other teams to bring Josh Donaldson back?
That's the same thing I just wrote right here, though. Do they have the money to even go get Josh Donaldson out? Because here's the thing with Josh Donaldson. He's getting 4 years.
Right? You just read it right there. Yeah, Somebody's going to give it to him.
Yeah, he's getting 4 years. Yeah, it's all about who is going to give it to him. Now, if you're the Braves, do you do a three and then you maybe up the average year at, the average salary or whatever? I don't know. I don't know how their finances are going on over there, but yeah, he's getting 4 years from somebody. Now, it was funny. We were talking in the bullpen, me, you, and Wendy. Would you rather him be a Twin or a Nat? That's the thing. Right now, it's looking like he's going to get that 4 year deal, and I think that's what's holding things up with the Braves. Is the four year? Maybe they want to do a three. Maybe there's an option. I don't know how that works, but yeah. I mean, I would love to have Josh Donaldson back, but like we were talking about it last week, Bunk, and I was really curious. I'm like, okay, what are you going to miss more if Josh Donaldson leaves, the defense or the bat?
I think the bat.
Okay.
I think depending on what you replace it with, but the bat.
The bat. All right, now.
The defense really good, too.
Awesome. Amazing. Now, with that being said, do they have at least enough to maybe kind of soften the blow of not having him in the cleanup spot?
And that depends on how they go about it.
And that's the biggest part. And I think it's just one key person to that. I think it's Austin Riley. I think if you have faith that Austin Riley can kind of repeat what he did when he was just one of the hottest hitters in baseball, tearing a cover off the ball, just unbelievable. Do you have the faith that he can be more consistent? Do you have the faith that this offseason he worked on the high fastball? He worked on changes. He worked on the slider, all these things.
Well, I trust that he's worked on it.
Okay, that's true. Do you trust that he can do it? Because you remember last year when JD was struggling, Josh Donaldson was struggling. Mm-hmm. You remember they had a day game that day. And I remember we were watching here in the studio, and they were showing clips of him on some kind of machine that was throwing sliders at him. And once after that game, that's when Josh took off. Mm-hmm. Does Austin have that kind of work ethic to put himself in that position to know this team is counting on me to be the guy that they pulled me up to be?
Yeah, and I hope so, if that's where we get to. My problem is, like, if we get to that point,
right.
Like, look, it's just like with the Dan Quinn thing with the Falcons. If the Falcons retain Dan Quinn, up until Dan Quinn proves to us next season that he can win football games,
nobody's gonna believe
him. I'm going to be disappointed that that's what they did.
Yeah.
If Austin Riley is the answer going into spring training because they didn't re-sign Josh Donaldson, we'll get back to that in a minute. They didn't do anything else to address the third base position. We'll get to that in a minute, too. Like, that's going to be disappointing to me because you had other options that you didn't decide to pursue.
Right.
And then, look, Austin Riley might go out there next season, tear the cover off the baseball, and prove them right. That might happen.
That's what I'm
saying. But it also might not.
And that's the problem about it, because everything is a crapshoot. Why are we so positive that Josh Donaldson will repeat the year that he had last year?
That's a great question. There's no guarantee. Yeah. But I think when you're talking about that, I mean, any team building, right? Anything's a crapshoot when you're building a team. You can't tell the future.
Yeah.
But you have to try to go with what has shown you most recently that it can be successful, right? Minimize the risk, or however you want to put it. Most recently, we've seen Austin Riley not be able to even get on first base by taking a walk in it anyway. Like, he could not get to first base for the final 2 months of the season. And Josh Donaldson, while he had a rough end of the season, he hit 37 home runs last year and played gold glove caliber third base. And who knows, maybe he gets banged up again and he can't do that. So you're right. There's no guarantee one way or the other that the decision that they make,
right,
and ultimately the success that they have with that decision is the determining factor for me as to whether or not the Braves can make the World Series next year, or if we're talking about a first round exit, or maybe even not making the playoffs.
Right.
Like, if you take a huge step back from the production that you got from that cleanup spot
yeah,
and from your third base spot, like, you might not be good enough to make the playoffs next year, given that you play in a division with the World Series, defending World Series champion. You don't know how much better everyone else is going to be. And again, you're right. I don't know that Josh Donaldson's going to come in and be as good as he was last year, but I feel more confident about that than I do about Austin Riley right now.
I'm with you on that. I'm sure a lot of Braves fans are with you, but my whole thing with Austin, and I think it was Alex Anthopoulos that said this earlier, I think it might have been at the winter meetings when they were talking about Austin Riley. He's like, he's always struggled the first year he's ever been up somewhere than the next year. If they don't re-sign Josh Donaldson, that's what they're going to have to bank on. Because I think you can get away possibly with the rotating defensively. I just find it hard to believe that you're going to be able to protect Freddie with the rotating guys. Because, I mean, who's going to be that fourth guy? It's got to be Austin and Duvall, right? I mean, as much as I like Camargo, I think last year Camargo was more pouting than anything last year. And rightfully so. I mean, because you come off your career year, and then they go out there, and then, you know, they sign Josh Donaldson. Even though it did work out, I could see him being pouty a little bit. So I can go with the rotation maybe defensively, maybe. But that bat behind Freddie, that's a big deal. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking online, what other big bat is there out there?
Unless you make a trade.
Right? And that's the thing. But if you make a trade, you're gonna have to give up something. Mm-hmm. If you're gonna, and I'm talking about for a bat that you look at as being impactful, you got to give up something. You got to give up somebody. Who's the guy that you're willing to give up?
There's a lot of them down there.
There's a whole lot of them down there.
And look, if it is Chris Bryant, if you want to go make a trade with the Cubs, if that's something that you can actually,
you got to give up some stuff.
You're gonna have,
man,
to give up some stuff.
And you got to give up some good stuff.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Absolutely. That's a defending MVP from just a couple years ago.
You got to give up some good stuff.
The bottom line for me is this. If it's Austin Riley on opening day, that means you didn't do Josh Donaldson because he didn't want to spend as much money as another team did, which is frustrating.
Right.
It means you didn't make a trade to address it, which you could have because you have all the prospects in the minor leagues, which is frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
So in two ways, you didn't go about making your team better on opening day. And maybe Austin Riley tears the cover off the baseball and is the MVP next year.
We don't know.
Maybe he looks like he looked at the end of the year.
Hey, but there's a Falcons watch party. It's at the Beverly Atlanta Sports Bar and Restaurant off Glenwood Avenue in Grant Park. As this Saturday starts at noon, enjoy delicious food and drinks while watching the Dirty Birds, the Beverly Atlanta food, sports, and vibes.
All right, we'll come back and get to an NFL no huddle. A lot of good football games this weekend, some playoff implication games this weekend as well. We'll also get back into the Falcons and Jaguars right here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.